The Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for December is a Christmas book for children ages 5 through 9. It's titled The Christmas Connection. You can find out more about this new Christmas Arch book at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase The Christmas Connection by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. Your young children, grandchildren, and godchildren will discover the relationship between Jesus' birth and resurrection in The Christmas Connection. 1-800-325-3040.
Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago. Well, he healed the sick.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It has to be maybe the smallest class ever held. It has the teacher and one student. It's also rather secretive. It seems as though Nicodemus, this Jew from the Pharisees who comes to Jesus by night, might not want everybody to know that he has come to inquire of this teacher. He does regard Jesus as a teacher. We know that you're a teacher sent from God, for no one could do the things that you do were he not from God. What is he talking about there? What kind of things has Jesus done that has convinced at least Nicodemus that Jesus ought to be listened to? But when Jesus begins to teach him, Nicodemus proves to be a pretty poor student. He's pretty dense. He doesn't seem to understand. Jesus even gets a little exasperated with him, saying, If this is how you fail to understand earthly things, what are you going to do when I start teaching you heavenly things? And their conversation focuses a lot on rebirth and baptism. We're going to be teaching a Sunday school lesson today. Jesus teaching Nicodemus in John chapter 3. Pastor Tom Baker joins us. He's host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, welcome back.
Thank you, Todd.
Okay, there seems to be some background here, at least with Nicodemus, who comes giving Jesus something of the benefit of the doubt, saying, you've been doing all these things that indicate to us that you're a teacher sent from God. How does that fit with what we've heard so far in John's gospel about, say, the wedding at Cana or the cleansing of the temple last time we talked?
I think the connection between all three is the distinction between the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. If you remember, Jesus cleaned the temple because they had misunderstood the Old Covenant to be salvation by following the ceremonial laws. And then in the wedding at Cana, what Jesus did is he brought new wine, and he is, of course, the new person for the new covenant. And I think this is precisely where Jesus says to Nicodemus, you're a teacher of Israel, and you don't know what I mean when I say you need to be reborn again, because Nicodemus is still under the old covenant law in the sense of Judaism, thinking thereby that if he would only obey the ceremonial law, then he would be saved. And Jesus, in both the previous two stories, shows there's a new covenant coming, because as Hebrews so clearly reflects, the people failed the first covenant, because the first covenant was based on their promises also. All these things we will do and obey. Whereas the second covenant that came to Adam and Eve in Genesis 3:15 and to Abraham in 12 and 15 chapters, God alone makes the promises, and that's what Nicodemus simply did not yet understand.
Okay, so that's the greater context for their conversation. Here he comes at night. What should we note about the fact that Nicodemus comes under the cover of darkness?
I think you were correct in indicating that he is a Pharisee, and in fact, he's on the Sanhedrin, which is the Supreme Court. And it is very obvious up to this point that anybody who was confessing Jesus would be in trouble. Remember, it's also the Gospel of John that has the man born blind. And remember, his parents were afraid to tell the Pharisees, well, you know, yeah, he's our son, but go tell him. We don't know what happened here, because they were afraid also of being, shall we say, excommunicated out of the synagogue, which happened to the man who was born blind and then saw. But he didn't mind that at all, because he came to meet Jesus and heard from the very lips of Jesus that he was the coming of the Messiah. And therefore, he no longer was blind, but instead the Pharisees, who could see, still remained blind.
All right, he comes to him, and he is, first of all, just kind of saying, we know that you come from God, you've been doing these signs, and you couldn't do them unless God is with you. Jesus' response doesn't seem to be very responsive at all. He just kind of launches in saying, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. What does Jesus' answer there have to do with Nicodemus's inquiry?
What Nicodemus is saying when he says that no one can do these signs, that's actually the word for miracle, the supernatural things, unless God is with him. Jesus could have answered that question as he had done with John the Baptizer's disciples, that the blind see, the deaf hear, etc. But here he's dealing with another subject that is more important, because what Nicodemus is really after is, what is the assurance of my salvation? And if you're from God, you can help me understand this. And that's why Jesus goes right into the very basis of his message, and that is that the kingdom of God is at hand. The term kingdom of God is used in the New Testament to express the coming of the Holy Christian Church. And baptism is, of course, the initiation point for those who come into the kingdom of God. There were those who were part of God's kingdom in the Old Testament, and you were saved by believing the promises of the gospel that the Messiah would come. But remember, Jesus says, John the Baptist is the greatest one born of a woman, but he who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than John. Why is that? Because John never received the gift of the Holy Spirit as we do in the Pentecost baptism, where our bodies now become the temple of the Holy Spirit. God considers us sinless and righteous, and we are enabled to receive the very body and blood of Jesus Christ, which, of course, God would never enter into something that's not holy. So Jesus is going to start right off in talking to Nicodemus about a person, how he is able to enter into the kingdom of God, and that means he must be born again.
He goes on, because Nicodemus' response, of course, is, how can a man be born again when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus says, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And then he kind of addresses Nicodemus's misunderstanding, that which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit is the spirit, and do not marvel that I have said to you, you must be born again. Take us into those words.
What Jesus is saying is, there is no doubt the world versus the church. And these two kingdoms, Augustine spoke quite a bit about. Anyone who is born of the flesh is therefore in the kingdom of Satan. We're poor, miserable sinners, unable to do anything to save ourselves. To get into the kingdom of God, this is very important what Jesus says, that one must be born of water and the Spirit. And that language, grammatically, is something that we really need to look at, because being born of the water and the Spirit is actually something that happens to you. It's what we call in the Greek a subjunctive aorist passive. That means baptism is not something you do, but it's something that is done to you. Think of an adoption of a child. When the child gets adopted, there's no doubt a change in the status of the child. But what did the child do? It didn't say anything. It didn't do any works. It didn't sign any document. It could be a one-month-old child. But the parents-to-be and the judge signs the document. And therefore, when Jesus says, not that you must go through your own birth and do it yourself, but you must be born of water and the Spirit, this is something that happens to you outside of yourself. And that's why baptism is so critical, because it's the only way I have the assurance that I am saved, because it's something that God did to me rather than something I did for God.
So the basic, the misunderstanding that Nicodemus appears to have here is not just he doesn't understand what Jesus is talking about. He even says, how can a man enter again a second time and be born? He's misunderstanding that purely passive nature of this rebirth.
Yes, exactly again. And what God does here in the person of Jesus, he says, you know, the wind blows where it wishes, you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. Now, it's quite interesting that in the original Greek, the word for wind is also the same word for spirit, pneuma. We get pneumatic tools that operate on the basis of air going through them. And so he's saying that the very first word in that Greek, the wind, is pneuma. You don't know where it wishes to go, where it sound, and then the last word in that verse is also pneuma. So it is with everyone who is born of the, not of the wind, but of the Spirit. And of course, he's referring to the Holy Spirit, and that is the Pentecost baptism. Even John the Baptizer, when he was baptizing, he says, you know, the one coming after me is going to be far greater, because I just baptized you with water, but he's going to baptize you with water, the Spirit, and with fire. And so that Pentecost baptism is the way that God brings even infants into the kingdom of God, giving them faith, forgiving their sins, and as Acts 2, Peter's sermon says, giving them the Holy Spirit.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson on this Tuesday afternoon, December the 13th. We are in John chapter 3, the first 21 verses. Jesus teaching Nicodemus. He's teaching him things that he doesn't understand. And when we come back, he will even marvel at his inability to understand. Nicodemus says, how can these things be? And Jesus says, are you the teacher of Israel, and yet you don't understand these things? Stay tuned.
We Lutherans, we're never aided by following along with some other tradition's theological priorities and catchphrases.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor Heath Curtis, Coordinator for Stewardship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod on a Lutheran approach to stewardship.
Other folks are not approaching it from our good, solid Lutheran understanding of law and gospel and vocation. There's a place to talk about this in Christianity, and we have a way of talking about stewardship as Lutherans without ever using the word stewardship, if you like. I'm going to talk to you today about your vocation in your home, in your church, in your society, and how each one of these makes a claim on you, on your presence, on your support, on your prayers. That's how we should talk about this as Lutherans.
You'll find several stewardship resources at lcms.org/stewardship, lcms.org/stewardship.
A mobile Lutheran Bible study. You're listening to Issues Etc.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.
Please help us finish in the black financially for the ninth consecutive year by making a year-end tax-deductible gift. With 3 weeks left, we're $54,000 short of expenses. You can make a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. You can also contribute by check. Make your check payable to Issues, etc., and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for listening, and thanks for thinking of Issues, etc., at the end of 2016. Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc. Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We are teaching a Sunday school lesson, as we do every week with him. We're in John chapter 3, Jesus teaching Nicodemus by night. This is one of those Sunday school lessons you'll find in a lot of Sunday school curricula. Now, will they get it right? Will they dismiss Jesus' words about baptism? Not in Growing in Christ, the Sunday school curriculum from Concordia Publishing House. Sticking straight with Jesus' words about rebirth through water and the Spirit, he is talking about Christian baptism, one of the great benefits of using Growing in Christ in your Sunday school classroom. Find out more about it at our website, issuesetc.org. It's on every page. I'm sorry, you need to click Listen on Demand. And you can also get a free sample from Concordia Publishing House. Just give them a call. Ask for a free sample of Growing in Christ, 1-800-325-3040. Tom, there's a little exasperation on the part of both Nicodemus and Jesus. Nicodemus says, how can these things be? And Jesus says, how can you not understand these things? What's going on?
Yes, Nicodemus is supposed to be a scholar of the Old Testament books. And we could take the rest of the time going through all the passages in the Old Testament that talk about what Jesus is talking about, but I'm going to give you what I consider the most significant passage, and every Sunday school teacher should write this down as they teach their children. It's in Ezekiel chapter 36. Now remember, baptism not only cleanses you from your sins, but it gives you a new heart, it gives you a new spirit. That's all in the New Testament, as you see in Acts chapter 2, namely the sermon by Peter. Now listen to verses 25 through 27 of Ezekiel 36. God says, I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleannesses, and from all your idols I will cleanse you, and I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you. Now, that's found throughout the Old Testament. Remember, David says, create in me a clean heart, renew a right spirit within me. Ezekiel says that's done by God sprinkling clean water on you. And when Peter responds to the people who say, we've killed the Messiah, what can we do? He doesn't tell them to do something. He tells them to let something be done to them. He uses the passive, be baptized, and you will receive the gift of the forgiveness of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. This is all in the Old Testament, and Jesus is quite exasperated that Nicodemus, supposedly a scholar of the Old Testament, doesn't understand this. But the reason he doesn't is because he's still so impressed with the Old Covenant, he doesn't recognize the New Covenant and the forgiveness of sins and God's grace that's coming to him.
So as we wind this down here, what is the upshot of this conversation between these two men? It seems as though we eventually get to that verse, John 3:16, God loved the world that he gave his son. Whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. What does that verse have to do with this ongoing conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus? About a minute and a half, Tom.
Yes. First of all, Jesus goes back to the Old Testament. And a lot of people don't realize the verses before the gospel in a nutshell. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. Remember, that serpent was a bronze serpent erected by Moses to cure those who were bitten by those poisonous snakes when they were so rebellious. Jesus is actually lifted up on the cross. So that verse 16 really follows, for God so loved the world, and what that means is, this is how he loved the world, he gave his only son. That not that whoever obeys him, but whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. So Jesus is bringing full circle around the benefits if Nicodemus would only understand that to be reborn comes through water and the Spirit, as Ezekiel and much of the Old Testament taught.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. You'll find out more about Law and Gospel at issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Tom, thank you very much for being our guest.
And thank you.
Jesus is trying to show Nicodemus who he is. He's trying to reveal to Nicodemus, this teacher of Israel, that he's not just a teacher sent from God. He is God come in human flesh to be lifted up for the sins of the world and to save all the world, including Nicodemus. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.
Hi, this is Pastor Clayton from Zion Lutheran Church of Muscoota, Illinois, a proud supporter of Issues Etc. Zion is a congregation firmly grounded in God's grace given in the Word and Sacraments, where we treasure the timeless beauty of the liturgy. Zion is also a vibrant, young, family-friendly congregation where you would be warmly welcomed. Zion is located at 101 South Railway Street in Muscoota, Illinois, and we would love to share God's gifts of grace with you. For more information, please visit our website at zionmuscoota.com.